I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN, where Joe, we got a lot of little knickknacks I want to dive right into before we, really get to a lot of the big local news that we've been covering all morning throughout the day here on WBEN. Okay, so yesterday we were talking Bills tickets.
Yes.
And I cannot believe both of us did not mention this part of it. So I've been interested in the reaction of season ticket members. And I was looking at one thread online of somebody saying, it just went up. Mine just went up 11%. This is, crazy. How do they, look at this, justify this? Now, the per game price doesn't, again, of the ticket didn't really go up. It's right. The extra game that accounts for most of that 11%. And I loved people posting how much their tickets are for the season and people responding going, oh, wow. I didn't know it was that cheap.
Yeah.
And then I completely forgot about this story, and I cannot believe that I did it, Joe. Detroit. Did you see what happened in Detroit?
No.
With Lions tickets. So this was last week, Detroit Lions tickets. They had a big increase. Their increase, now, according to the team, was on average 30%. According to people who have been looking at the numbers out there, 36%, although some people are seeing a 146% increase in the price of their season ticket, like somebody in the Detroit Free Press who paid over $5,000 for their seats. Next year, the same seats will cost $13,600 for the seats. That's over 100% increase. Yeah. They show other people who are paying well over 40%. Increases, 50% increases as the Lions hiked their ticket price because, they were bad and now they're good. And
the Bills have not followed that.
I just kind of put that out there to be like, this is an example of why myself as a non-season ticket holder for the Bills, I said I thought they should have raised prices more. it kind of just makes economic sense to me that they would have done so. And I understand if you've had your season tickets and that's how you go to games and you go to every game, you don't sell them, and you're kind of that's your mode, that you would be upset every time the ticket price goes up. But if you look at it from the outside, like the people commenting, I can't believe it's that cheap. If you have bought a ticket on the secondary market to find out that you paid for one game what some people are paying for an entire season, you might think otherwise. And if you look down, around the lake in Detroit where a good season happens and they're raising prices, doubling prices in some areas, I think you maybe can understand where I'm coming from.
I really thought this was going to be the season that we were going to see I was expecting it, Brian. I was expecting steep increase this season. That's what I thought the announcement would be. Because I was thinking about this yesterday. You look back, right? Okay, so they got their first really good season with Josh Allen, the loss in the wild card against Houston. Well, obviously they didn't raise tickets prices the next season because no one went to games the next season, right? There was COVID. I can see holding off on the ticket price increase after COVID. But these last two seasons, I really have expected that 25, 35% increase or even more, and you just haven't seen it. I am not paying that much more today than I was in 2016. Two completely different teams on the field in 2016 and 2024.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Anyways, just failed to mention Detroit, so wanted to get that out there. Friday is the big day where I'm just reading a million things online, a lot of the news roundups and things like that. I won't mention the one. I'll bring it up to you off the air because it's hilarious. But this one in the Atlantic, writer that I like to read, Derek Thompson, was doing a story. It's titled "Why Americans Suddenly Stopped Hanging Out," and we've talked about this a bunch before, Joe. Why people are a little less social; they're more introverted. doing stuff alone, not, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, as pointed out there, he says it's, you don't even have to say it, you know, it's just kind of the assumed one. And then maybe there's some other reasons too. In this article, though, there's a trend that he makes note of that I thought was, and maybe this is something for a couple weeks from now or something like that, that we can explore a little bit more in depth. Americans have traded people for pets in our social time.
Oh, yeah. I buy that.
I absolutely buy that. Now, listen to some of the numbers that he dug up. The average time Americans spend with their pets has doubled, roughly, in the last 20 years because more people have adopted pets. Well, you know, that's a good thing. And they spend more time with them. In 2003, the typical female pet owner spent much more time socializing with humans than playing with their cat or dog. By 2022, it flipped. The average woman with a pet now spends more time actively engaged with her pet than hanging out face-to-face with fellow humans on any given day.
Yeah.
But doesn't it, we're seeing it, we all might have assumed that this was happening.
But we're actually seeing it.
Seeing it in print, you know, with the numbers, it does kind of, it is a little bit jarring.
Yeah, but not surprising.
Has that happened to people you know?
Oh, put me on the spot. I can't think of someone in particular. Can you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I can think of it where it just, that's their new interaction.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, pets as people. But I think that could be a whole,
day's
worth of talking. And then I didn't mention this yesterday. I said I was going to you, Joe. Spotify is launching a new hub called Spotify Classics. Now, I kind of ruined this for you yesterday, but Classics. It's going to be the place you can go to and listen to the classics.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Like, classics, what pops into your head? Classics in the music world.
Well, classics, I mean, I think of classic hits, but I guess I'm off on classic hits because I was listening to our sister station in New York City while working out, WCBS-FM, and I was surprised to hear Smash Mouth on a classic hit station. Because when I think classics, I think the 80s, right? I think Hall & Oates. That's a classic. That's what you would hear on a classic hits radio station. That's been my definition, but apparently it's moving with time. I'm not moving with time.
Well, so still, classics has a connotation that we put with it. Now, classics is going to be different for everybody.
Right.
Okay, music's so subjective. But, like, I would think, okay, well, it's not going to be like the Beatles. Though that's been oldies.
Those are oldies, yeah.
Considered oldies since when I was a kid, so I don't think it's going to be classics. The Rolling Stones, I might say, all right, now that's classics, but that's kind of in the same time frame as the Beatles, so they probably wouldn't do that either. And so now I'm, okay, classics, what does that mean? I'm picturing Whitney Houston, like, Dance with Somebody.
Yeah.
As the
early 90s.
That's, like, the most popular. People consider it a classic. I'm expecting that to be track one on the new classics hub.
Yeah.
Like, would that make sense?
Yeah, that'd be a great album if Whitney kicked it off.
Well, the Classics Hub will feature albums from Beyonce, Rihanna, and Jay-Z.
Oh, all people with new music.
But isn't that's like a make you feel old type of thing, right?
You know, I might have understood if you said Destiny's Child, right? Because they were late 90s, early 2000s. Okay, maybe. But Beyonce and Rihanna, at least. Jay-Z, I don't know if he has any new stuff. But Beyonce is releasing a country album. Rihanna just released a new album. It's funny that they must be talking about their old stuff. Their stuff from when we were in middle school and high school, if it's called a classic.
Yeah. Classics.
Shut Up and Drive is not a classic. We were in college for Shut Up and Drive. That wasn't that long ago.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
It's over a decade ago.
I know. But when we, okay, but think about when we were younger. All right. Think about the 2000s. Yeah, I guess.
Right. 2000s. And then if you're talking, but no, your late 90s, classic rock was
80s. 60s and 70s.
What? Like late 70s.
Yeah. Like I feel like the 80s have sneaked onto classic rock in the last five or six years. Like I feel you hear a lot more. What's the word? Not Led Zeppelin.
You're right. So like I'm thinking Led Zeppelin, and that's more early 70s.
Yeah.
So 20
Like, we weren't
to
calling
25
stuff.
Years.
If you listen to what we called the oldie station back then, now it's a classic hit station.
Herman's
they weren't
Hermits.
Playing Hall & Oates. They were playing Elvis and the Beatles and Rolling Stone.
British Invasion type stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the stuff. Chubby Checker might have been on there.
That's right. Chubby Checker.
And he's still
singing one of his many twists.
Still around. But I, yeah, it is weird to see.
It's very weird.
You know, oldies and then like, ugh, I mean, oldies, really?
It was weird yesterday. I'm on the elliptical. I'm listening to WCBS FM out of New York, and All Star comes on. I go, that's not a classic hit, but it kind of is. It's
kind of is. So
over
that,
20 years old.
Oh, what year did that come out?
99.
Oh, I'm thinking like it past 2000. 99.
Yeah.
25 years old.
All Star.
The singer isn't even here.
No, he's passed away.
Jeez.
Right?
That's a classic hit.
I'm telling you.
Can't argue.
If you want something to make you feel old when you're in your mid-30s, as we are, Brian, music will do it.
Oh, music will do it. I, you weren't here last week for Seth Green turned 50.
Ooh.
That was my, I was telling Susan, that is a make you feel, the guy who was the snotty teenager in the Austin Powers movies.
Yes, yeah.
In like every movie, right, I think, that he was in, he kind of played that same character. 50 years old.
Oh my
so
gosh.
So just the make you feel old.
Last
moment.
Thing I heard him in, I saw him in, he popped up as the old college friend of Marshall and Lily on How I Met Your Mother. And he looked the exact same.
That's the problem with it. He looks the same. Does he color
he
his
must.
Hair?
He must.
Or if you have red hair, do you just not go gray as fast?
That's a good point. I'm not sure. But by the way, you know, the last Austin Powers movie did leave us with a cliffhanger with him assuming the Dr. Evil role. And I've been waiting 2 decades now for the fourth Austin Powers, where Scott takes over.
You're not alone. You're not alone, Joe. You're not alone. All right. Erie County officials could be the next to receive a hefty pay raise. Elected officials, that is. A citizens review committee is looking at the idea. If you were listening to us this morning, you heard a lot about it. We spoke with a member on that committee, what they're thinking, spoke with one Erie County legislator, the legislature in total, kind of up for consideration in this review process. We heard from people for it. We've heard from people against it. Let's do that right now. Legislators John Mills and Howard Johnson on if it should happen.
No. And the reason why is because I firmly believe that we're part-timers. That's the way this country is set up. Farmers went to the legislature and cast their vote, went back home, plowed their fields. And it's a part-time position, and I think we're well compensated for it.
I'm in favor of it. If you look, the last time there was a pay raise, it was 1996. When you think about the constituency, we represent 86,000 constituents. One of the lowest paid legislators. When you look at other counties, they only represent not even a third of the population that we represent. You know, I think of Monroe County, I think they represent about 10,000. They only meet once a month. We're here weekly. So this is almost like a full-time job for most of us.
All right. Two different viewpoints on whether or not Erie County legislators should be on the receiving end of a pay raise. What do you think? 803-0930. And Joe, they're also talking about the county executive, the sheriff, the clerk. I think comptroller is on that list too. And that's kind of more of a, should we pay this person more type of thing.
Yes.
The legislature discussion is particularly interesting to me because it's a different type of discussion. It's not just, should we give these people a pay raise? They're already amongst the highest paid legislators in New York State.
Yep.
The question seems to be, should we be treating this as a full-time job, and what should that look like? 803-0930. If you have any thoughts on this, please let us know. You can give us a call or a text this morning. What are you thinking when you hear about this?
Yeah, I think it's right the way it is now. I don't think it should be a full-time job. We're talking about a county of less than 1 million people, Brian. I'm sorry. I think the way it's set up is the way it... Number one, it's the way government is supposed to be. I know I beat this drum all the time. But, you know, government official, public, that wasn't supposed to be a full-time career, right? You would do your service and you go back to the private sector. I think the legislature is set up perfectly. It's a part-time job. Everyone there has another job that they go to, that they do, a career that they've built. This is them doing a service to the county on the side. If anything, they might be overpaid for a part-time job, but I think it should stay a part-time job. Now, those other people you mentioned, I don't know what has happened in Erie County where the county executive needs any more money. Like, I'm not sure what's happened where he gets a raise. So he gets the inflation raise, but, you know, while other people are just paying inflation. I think it's a bad time to be talking about throwing more money at government officials.
So I get torn on this, like I do, because I can kind of see both sides of the argument. My gut right now, Joe, is just leaning no. If it were up to me, if I were on the committee, I would throw out this suggestion. Let's pay them less and have them work less.
Yes.
I love that. Let's bump that down from 40 to 10, and it's like 1 month out of the year that they meet every Tuesday night. Or something like that. And then, you know, throughout the year, you can go and meet with your constituents and see what people are talking about and bring it all to the meeting that happens a couple times a year. Like that, just in my head, all right, that's what's going to work out.
And on that point, the extra money, now we see why they badly need the gas tax holiday to end, because they're getting ready to pay everyone more.
Well, who's they, right? Like it would be a committee. Like it doesn't necessarily... You can't say they're giving themselves a pay raise necessarily right now. They're not involved in the discussion right now.
Right.
But then it would have to be approved.
By them.
By them. We're not at that point yet.
Should have to be approved by us.
Flip your ballot
referendum.
Around.
Yeah.
Flip your ballot around would be right. Now.
So you said you're split. So that's your one way you're leaning.
So that's my one way of looking at it, was if you listen to John Mills with us this morning, he basically at the end, I asked him, well, John, if this was to be a full-time position, what would you do? Like, how would you make it a full-time? And he goes, I have no idea. I don't know what we would do. I don't know, like, what more is there to do? And the answer to that question is perfect, because we don't want to be just making up work for lawmakers.
Right.
I can't think of anything worse, just like to, at least to the way I kind of think about how everything should run. It's when people joke about, and, you know, I'm sure I've said something about this in the past, the schedule in Albany, right? Where, you know, they're making how much money? They're only working how many days a year? Like, right. They should be working the rest of us. And I go, well, you know, hold up. I don't actually want them to be working that much, because I've heard some of the ideas that come out of Albany, and we don't need more of them. Like, we don't, generally speaking, want them to be working a little bit harder. But I like the response from John Mills, because what he's basically saying is you would just be grasping to create more work if you have more time to sit here. And that's, in his mind, and I think probably in a lot of people's minds, not the best way to go about this. Now, on the other side of the argument, and this is what people will argue, this is part of the discussion that's happening in that committee right now. And actually, we got a text on this that I thought was pretty good while we were talking to John Mills. Texter writes in 803-0930, John Mills could donate his raise. If he doesn't earn it, he can control his own schedule because he owns his own business. People with regular jobs don't have that kind of luxury and couldn't serve. We'd need more of that type of representation in government. And there's where I think you start to make a decent argument the other way, that the way it's set up right now, you're kind of in this in-between position. So when we come, we're up against a break because we took way too much time. When we come back, I think an important part of the discussion is whether you agree or disagree with the idea of a pay raise is what do you expect out of your county legislator?
Ooh, good question.
Because that would really determine what way you think on it. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer, we'll be back here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer are back with you on WBEN, and we're talking about the one of our top, a lot of big stories locally here in the news, which I'm sure you'll be getting into. You're in for David coming up next.
Yeah, we're going to be getting into something, Brian, that you and I have talked about extensively because there's an announcement on it today, and that is the cap on the 33. We'll be getting into that in the 10 o'clock hour.
When we write up all of our news stories and put them in just so we're kind of organized in the morning and have an idea of, you know, where we're going, you write, it's called a slug. It's like the little title that goes into the thing just so you know what you're about to hit. And the slug I wrote was 33 hat. Because I thought that pretty much that's the project in a nutshell. It's a hat for the 33.
Yeah.
More expensive than the one I just bought, but...
And we're going to try to get a few voices on that as well. As you know, on Hardline, we've had people from both sides of the equation, and trying to get that for David's show as well.
If we have time at the end, I'll hit it. We're talking about the pay raise for the legislature, and it's not the only. Elected Erie County officials could be in line for a pay raise. It's all being reviewed. It's being talked about. It's not even up for a vote right now.
Right.
So I do want to make that clear. But it's up for review by a citizens review committee. They're looking at the idea. They're looking at the county executive, the clerk, the comptroller, the sheriff, and county legislators, which that to me is the very interesting part. And we kind of went through it in the last half hour, Joe. But the question is, they're making a little over $40,000 right now. The recommendation is wide-ranging. Could be a slight bump in pay or keeping it the same, or it could be bringing them all the way to above $80,000 a year. They're already some of the top-paid legislators in the state.
Right.
And that would doubling the pay would obviously go well beyond that. We talked about the two ways you could look at it. One, no way. I think that's our gut reaction. But no way. Why? No way because we don't want to make this a full-time job. And that's really the central question. Should being on the legislature in Erie County be a full-time job? If you answer yes, I mean, then I think the question becomes easy. And then I think there's an in-between that would maybe decide on if you want to give them a raise. But there's a lot of different ways to look at it. The part that I'm wondering, and the part that should maybe be asked first, though, Joe, is what are you expecting out of your legislator? And that will help guide, I think, how you want to take this question of a pay raise.
I mean, this is such a cheesy answer, Brian, but it's the answer. You want someone that will be the voice of you, of where you live, right? I mean, each legislator has about 86,000 constituents. You want someone that, you know, hey, there's this, you know, road issue near where I live or something that is in the county's hands. You want someone that you'll be able to contact and bring that up.
You want them to pick up the phone.
Yes.
That's what you want. Now, how many phone calls is this? So, that's the next. How many phone calls is this? Do you get to a point where you think it is a full-time job? If you missed John Mills on with us, he said flat out no. We asked him, if this was a full-time job, how do you think the job would change? He said, I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any idea.
Which probably means that he's been able to handle his phone calls at a part-time
schedule. Right, I mean, he is reelected continuously.
Right.
Obviously, that would mean the people voting for him are happy with the work that he's doing, or there would be somebody else there. He says pretty much able to take care of what I need to take care of as a part-time job.
And I realize it's a citizens review board, but I have to say, I feel like I talk with enough citizens. I've never heard this come up when I've talked about the legislature. You know, we've done open lines on Hardline. I've never heard anyone call in and say, I wish my legislator was a full-time position.
And it is a little strange. We talked with Gary Dixon, who's on that review panel earlier. Can you call it a citizens review panel still? If you have somebody's sitting in an office on the panel.
Yeah, it's not true. Like, we should be on it. We're citizens.
We are citizens. What would that, when we strike down the pay raise, now nobody's going to come on the show.
That's a good point. Maybe we should don't put us on it.
Don't
never mind.
Put us on. Is that right? So a lot of people texting in 803-0930 is how you get a hold of us today. You can give us a call or a text this morning. What do you expect out of your legislator? And should it be a full-time job? And then what do you think of the argument somebody made on the text board? And it is one of the arguments that is being considered by this panel that having it as a quote-unquote part-time job with pay the where, which I'll push up against a little bit, like $40,000 is still a lot. I think a lot of people are listening to this and saying, well, $40,000, if you really wanted to be on the legislature and stop what you're doing and use have that as a full-time job, $40,000 plus the benefits is a lot better than a lot of people for a quote-unquote part-time job.
It's pretty good in Erie County, yeah.
You can live on $40,000, especially if you're in a dual-income household, maybe.
Yes.
You can do $40,000 plus, again, the benefit, the pension program, that the state pension program they get to be into. I like how John Mills mentioned free parking in the ramp. I mean, hey, look, they're all perks, right? That would cost a lot of money somewhere else. That is a good amount of money. But the argument being that it takes a lot of people out of the running who would look at that and say, it's not feasible for me to take this job. I would not be able to do my current job and take on the responsibilities of being in the legislature, even if it is paying over $40,000, and that is stopping a lot of qualified people or people, maybe fresh voices, who would want to run for that seat.
That's right. I mean, we couldn't be on the radio if we were in politics, you know, so that's taking us out of the running for being a legislator. Here's why I like it's a full-time job, because that's a good argument, don't get me wrong, and I don't really have anything to push back on that. The reason I think it could be I think it should be a part-time job, and I think most government positions should be a part-time job, Brian, is these are people who now regularly deal with real-life situations, right? They're most of them balancing two jobs. A lot of people in Erie County are balancing two jobs. I feel you get people who are just closed into that office, just like in Congress. They're there all day, right? They're dealing in the politics of every day. You start to lose the reality that your constituents live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having part-time, and most of the people, if not all of them, have another job where they're dealing with non-politicians. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big positive that we don't realize we have in Erie County. Now, there's a lot of things that come out of the legislature that I do not agree with. However, I do think it's a positive. These are people who are living the life you and I are living. They're going out there. They're working in the private sector as well as the public sector. And I think they might have a view on things that people in Albany, people in D.C. don't have.
There is a huge difference on understanding an issue when you're dealing with it yourself versus you are listening to somebody explain it to you in your office, right?
Yep.
And you said a good argument, right, for the it maybe excludes people for. I think it's an argument. I don't necessarily think it is a good argument for the numbers I'm looking at right now. I don't think that that is a good argument for $80,000 a year.
True.
I think it's a good argument for $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Because at that number, you can now look at, you know, a lot of people who could say, all right, if this is something I'm truly passionate about, I will go into it. You know, $50,000 is not a part-time salary.
Right.
In most of, you know, the jobs that you would get. And if we're talking about, well, we're excluding people who don't run their own business or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't run their own business, who have great ideas, who this, that, and the other, who would be able to switch from what they're doing currently
to a $50,000
position with benefits.
And again, $50,000 doesn't imply there's going to be a lot added on to the position, right? If you go up to $50,000. $80,000 means you got to do something.
$80,000.
You got to do something.
Like you are hopping in the plow and taking a shift off of like the workers because you have, like John Mills said, you have to fill it up with something.
Yeah.
Like you're not just sitting writing new laws every day. $80,000, that goes up to $80,000. How many months does it take before the bar time The closing time discussion is brought back up again, and it's rolled back to 2 a.m., right? Because, like, these are the ideas that get kicked around when there's not a lot of serious topics. When you're all of a sudden full-time in your office, now you're going to be talking about that. You're going to be talking about all these different things that don't necessarily require new bits of legislation, right? The plastic bag, oh, now it's going to be the straws, and now, you know, all this and that. You're going to have to find something else at 80,000. And again, as John Mills, we heard from him earlier, he doesn't know exactly what that something else would be.
But you know, for, I mean, you brought this up already, Brian, but 42,588, that's what they make now. I mean, that is almost 10,000 over the median income of Erie County, right? I mean, so I'm actually going to go back on what I said, because if you truly, if this is a passion and you say, hey, give me two terms in the legislature and I will get things done, or I will attempt to get things done, I think for two terms, I think you could make it, I think you could make it livable in Erie County. I mean, again, almost 10,000 over the median income of Erie County for a county that is a little over 950,000 people. We're talking about a county of less than a million people. I think people forget that. I think people want to think that you're, you know, that we got millions of people in this county. We don't. We have just under a million. I think what they're making now is a really good paying part-time job, and I think you could swing it as a full-time job.
On the text board, 803-0930, somebody chiming on, if they haven't had a pay raise in years, haven't they been overpaid?
True.
Should not be on the size of the constituency, rather time spent on tasks, said somebody. What if they had to clock in?
Yeah, clock in so we can see when you're actually
clock
working.
Clock in and clock out. We put the time cards in there for every single legislator, and then that's how we base the pay.
Hourly pay for the legislator?
Hourly.
I like it.
I started saying it as a joke, but like as the sentence
makes
came
sense
out of my mouth, like, is that a bad idea?
I don't think anyone would go for it, but I don't think it's an awful idea.
You'd have to make sure they're not just sleeping in the office. But
Right. They're not George Costanza under the desk.
I don't think that's a terrible idea for a lot of, like, how much effort do you put into this job? What do you have to show for it? And that's what the pay is based off of, instead of just coming up with some sort of fixed number. And instead of making it a full-time politician, because I love the
They couldn't get overtime. Just remember that.
No overtime. I do love the, you know, point you brought up, Joe, of having people in a form of government, because you're losing that more and more.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you know, City of Buffalo, council members, I mean, they just had a pay increase. They're now near are they over 80,000? Is it 78? I don't know why 78 is in my head. It might be over 80, but they're up there in that range. You are, I think, on more and more levels of government,
84.
getting away from people having that everyday experience. And when you're only in politician mind all the time, it's going to show after a while. And I mean, Joe, how many times have I said it over the last decade? Like, it shows all the time where you have people who are locked in to Albany mode, or, you know, City Hall mode, or council mode, or whatever it is, and they just do not understand the, you know, look at all these energy bills and the impacts that are brought up by people in the industry, people living day-to-day lives, people who work on homes, people who work on cars, people who sell cars, people like, and that's a perfect example of something that, like, hold on, this is so detached from the way people are living day-to-day life. It really does show that maybe this shouldn't be a full-time position.
Right. No, and you know, I think of listen to someone who's going into Congress for their first term, and then talk to them after their second term. The way they talk, their thoughts are completely different, because they are taken over by that D.C. politician mindset. It happens in Albany, as you mentioned, as well. I think it's the one positive we have in Erie County government, is that our legislators are out there in the community. They are seeing the problems we're having. I mean, do you really want every politician? Because this is the way it is at the state level and the federal level. You know, it's not really an issue. It's not really an issue. And the only reason they react to an issue is, oh, our poll numbers are down. Or do you want them actually experiencing why issues are so negative. That's the issue. That's the problem right here, right? We have so many people in Albany and D.C. who react to poll numbers because, you know, when's the last time, I say this all the time, Brian, when's the last time they went to an Aldi? When's the last time they bought clothes at a TJ Maxx? You know what I mean? They're not living the problems you and I are living. And I have to say, again, there are some things I disagree with that comes out of the legislature, of course. But the one positive is they are seeing the day-to-day life that you and I are living. I think with a change to 80,000, a change to full-time, that will, for some, whittle away.
The other story in the news that we were talking about this morning, I almost brought it up, but I thought a little bit better. Erie County Democratic Party endorsing April Baskin, who is currently on the legislature, you know, segue. That's what they call it. For the seat held by Tim Kennedy, that happened last night. And that, Joe, was not the interesting part of the story to me. Mitch Nowakowski, who's currently a Buffalo Common Council member, was also seeking the nod from Democrats. So we talked with him on this station plenty of times about why he wants the seat, why he wanted to run. He announced he will not challenge Baskin in a primary in order to all get behind that idea. Maybe this plays into what you were just saying, Joe, with the, you know, politicians being into their own. Should the voters not decide? Like, that is what is giving. And, you know, I asked Jeremy Zellner about this earlier this morning, and you can listen to his answer over at WBEN.com. But that, to me, it's why people get turned off.
Yes.
Because they're looking at what happened. Okay, we have two people who want to run for this seat. And it was not decided by the voters.
It was decided by Jeremy Zellner.
It's decided by who the Erie County Democratic Committee, who asked 10 people on the street. They probably could not name you a single person who sits on that committee.
Right.
It's just decided by people at a meeting and then announced and then, okay, here's your candidate. And, oh, there is a primary, but anyone else who was interested, no, they're not going to run. We're all getting behind.
They were told not
this
to
person.
Run.
I mean, this is why people get turned off.
Yeah, there's no selection. And I mean, go back to what we were talking about with the legislature. It's not going to be on the ballot, right? People that, again, you can't name the people on the committee are making the decision. And you know what? I'm sure, again, Jeremy Zellner probably talked to Mitch Nowakowski, and they're getting behind April Baskin. Seems like a shoe-in, right, for that seat, a very blue district. But you're right. I mean, I think people want to be able to make the decision. They don't want the chair of the Erie County Democrats to be one of the most powerful people in politics. You know, guess what? He is.
The endorsement will carry weight.
Yes.
But why shouldn't this be hashed out in a primary? If there are two people who wanted that position, right?
Yeah.
Prove to me that you do. Because, well, I want it, but only if you guys say it's okay. Like, that's what you hear at the end of the day.
And that, again, Brian, is why we are the losers at the end of the day when we have two major parties. And two major parties call the shots for everyone else. That I'm telling you, it's the downfall of politics. It's why politics are so toxic. At the end of the day, we're the losers in the two-party system.
Now, coming up in about a hour or so from now, within the next hour, and something you'll be talking about when you're in for David here, New York State about to make the most expensive purchase ever at Lids. The $1 billion cap on the 33 project seems to be going forward. We were, you know, reporting on it this morning. The official announcement set to take place within the next hour.
And a project that, as time goes on, gets more and more unpopular. It's the complete opposite of the 198 project, which has gained more approval from people in the community. People surrounding the 33 want this cap less and less.
Maybe that's true. I don't know who to believe. Because I've heard three people speak out against this. I mean, really, and that's not to say that I don't know what we've said it so many times before, door-to-door poll in the community. That's what they should do. Canvas the community. Tally up everyone's response. Show them the plan. How do you vote? Put it to a vote.
Should be.
I have heard in the media, at meetings. Now, these just might be the spokespeople for a larger group. But I have only heard really three voices speak out against. So I think you might be right. I don't know if you're right on that, though.
It just seems, again, I think I saw a poll where it's like 51-49. I'm not sure where that poll came from. I'm not sure when that poll was taken. It seems to me, Brian, and maybe it's just more people, like you said, it's a few people and they're being more vocal, but it does seem like more people are speaking out as we get closer to this thing actually happening. And you know, I also think it was kind of forced when the governor says, take this project or lose the $1 billion.
Which is why I kind of want to build it. I mean, hey, do you want your money to be wasted here or wasted somewhere else?
After they build it, though, can they return it for a refund?
No. Oh, no okay. Refund policy at LIDS.
Could you just see, like, members of the council tearing it down and taking parts back?
Joe Beamer will be talking about that coming up next. You got the news with Lucas, and I'll see you in a while. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer.
Oh, have fun on vacation.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Yes, yeah. We'll both be off next week. So, you know, tune
special,
in.
Special surprises.
That's right.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Have a fun, safe trip, Ryan.
All right. You too, Joe. We'll see you next week on WBEN.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.